As Greta mentioned, we are continuing our series in Ephesians, and Richard's going to come and read to us this evening. The reading tonight is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 21.
Ephesians 3, starting at verse 7. I was made a servant of the gospel by God's special gift, which he gave me through the working of his power. I am less than the least of all God's people, yet God gave me this privilege of taking to the Gentiles the good news about the infinite riches of Christ, and of making all people see how God's secret plan is to be put into effect. God, who is the creator of all things, kept his secret hidden through all the past ages, in order that, at the present time, by means of the Church, the angelic rulers and powers in the heavenly world might learn of his wisdom in all its different forms. God did this according to his eternal purpose, which he achieved through Christ Jesus our Lord. In union with Christ and through our faith in him, we have the boldness to go into God's presence with all confidence. I beg you then not to be discouraged, because I am suffering for you. It is all for your benefit. For this reason I fall on my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its true name. I ask God, from the wealth of his glory, to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundations in love, so that you, together with all Christ's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. To him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of, to God be the glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for your word to us. And we pray that this evening, by your Spirit, you would open up those most wonderful of truths and inspire us and challenge us and empower us and enable us to know more of you through all that we hear and learn. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, I really enjoyed a short series on the BBC that was called Lost Land of the Volcano. Did anyone see it? This wasn't the Kate Humble one, which was on earlier in the evening when I was tending to still be out of work. It was a later one, and it followed Steve Backshall and Gordon Buchanan. Is this one that people saw? No. Not too late for all of you, obviously. Anyway, Steve and Gordon were exploring a place called Mount Bisavi, which was a giant extinct volcano covered by thick and largely unexplored rainforest in New Guinea. With the help of trackers from various remote tribes, they were searching for rare creatures and possibly for new species to find evidence that they were hoping was going to help stop the area's trees being felled for timber. It really was a fascinating programme, and the team did, in fact, discover many new species, including the unbelievably adorable couscous, and I think we've got a photo of the couscous, the actual one. Isn't that cute? Now, that was one of over 30 new species that they found on this particular expedition. And I thought it was really incredible to see what these scientists and biologists and local tribes were all doing together. There was something really exciting and inspirational about all they were accomplishing. And it was particularly amazing to witness one of the tribes who spoke about how they used to be cannibals and recalled times that they used to be cannibals, who were now working with this team, enabling them to complete their valuable research. Now, there was something about their united approach to this responsibility, the understanding that they had of the task at hand, the purpose for which they were working, that reminded me of us, of the church, and of the responsibility that God has given to us in calling us to work together to fulfil his purpose. Now, perhaps at times the results are more tangible on projects like the one in New Guinea, but I really believe the impact, the responsibility, the enormity of the task, and the awesome privilege are just a fraction in comparison to all that God has actually called us to. To me, the book of Ephesians is describing something of God's plan and purpose to bring restoration and reconciliation to the whole of creation through Christ. And the passage that Richard read for us reminds us of our responsibility as the church to care for the gospel, to study it, to share it, to hand it on to the next generation, to protect it and to live it. As Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he's writing about God's vision and purpose for the church. A vision that not only looks to the future, but that sees the church as a present expression of a future reality. In it, he shares the secret of God's wealth, love, and power, which has been made available to us, and which God longs for each one of us to experience in all of its fullness. Another TV programme you may have seen occasionally is Air Hunters. Has anyone seen Air Hunters? For those of you that haven't, Air Hunters, where a company tries to track down long-lost relatives to let them know of an inheritance that they perhaps aren't aware of. Imagine for a minute what it would be like to discover that you were part of a family that you didn't know about, and now you had come into a huge inheritance that is going to dramatically change your life. Are you planning what you're going to do with it? You see, in a way, I think that is the picture that Paul is painting here in these verses. Paul is like one of the air hunters, telling people the news that they have access to a vast inheritance. He says in verse 8, God gave me this privilege of taking to the Gentiles the good news about the infinite riches of Christ. As he's writing this letter, Paul is trying to convey the vastness of the wealth of Jesus that is made available to everyone who believes in him. He speaks of the infinite riches of Christ. What a beautiful description, which encapsulates the vastness of God. A God that is not so distant that he's unknowable, but a God that's so great he can never fully be comprehended. What are these riches? Well, they include resurrection and salvation, the new life we receive in Jesus that starts now and provides the opportunity for us to live life to the full in the way that God intended. They include reconciliation, both to God and to one another. In verse 12, Paul says that part of these riches is a privilege of instant access to God, going boldly into God's presence with all confidence. How can these things ever be summed up? What an array of wealth that is ours as soon as we become part of God's family. And that is the good news of Jesus, that is for us, and it's for us also to share. You see, ultimately, it's God's plan that we all live in relationship with him. And for Paul, that fact was the very centre of who he was. And he longs for that to be right at the heart, not only of every individual, but of every group of Christians who meet together as the body of Christ. He mentions this in his prayer in verse 17 when he talks of Christ making his home in our hearts through faith. Clearly, Paul has grasped the riches of Christ that were available to him as a believer. And we know he's grasped them because we can see how much he values them. In verse 13, he begs the church in Ephesus not to be discouraged because of the way that he is suffering. If you know anything about Paul, you know he suffered for the gospel. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was tortured. He endured trial after trial. And yet he held on to his faith and he persevered in telling others about Jesus. How he must have treasured the riches of Christ that he'd found in order to go through that amount of suffering for it. And yet he knew that treasure wasn't just for him. He recognised he had a responsibility to ensure that other people also discovered this great wealth for themselves. So what's the secret of wealth? Well, I think Paul is telling us that the riches of Christ are our inheritance. We can enjoy it right now. And I do think that Paul wants us to share these riches. But if we're going to share something, we need to recognise its value in the first place. And I think maybe we need to be able to value that treasure that we've been given and to discover more of what it means to be part of God's kingdom. Now, I really think this is an ongoing task. It's something that happens as we learn to follow Jesus every day. Yes, that wealth is ours the minute we come into God's kingdom. But exploring all that means is a daily adventure, even more exciting than the possibility of discovering new species in New Guinea. Sometimes I wonder if that joy and excitement of these new discoveries of God perhaps lose something of their power the longer we've been Christians. It's easy, I think, for disappointments to scar us, for experiences in life to numb us, for challenges to exhaust us. And tonight I want to encourage you to take hold of the riches of Christ, to value the good news of Jesus, to feed on God's word, to long to know not just more about Jesus, or even necessarily about what God wants you to do, but to know him personally more, to encounter more of him in your life. The air hunters have knocked at your door. They've delivered good news to you. The wealth is here for us. It's waiting to be enjoyed in full. And as we make our own discoveries, then make sure that the riches of Christ don't remain a secret. Follow Paul's example in letting other people know that those riches are there waiting for them as well. Paul's letter to the Ephesians continues as he moves into a beautifully composed, heartfelt prayer for them to experience the love and the power of God. Now, love is something that relates to everyone because we are relational people in need of love. Now, maybe that's why the most popular topic in songs is love, whether they're written in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 80s, or even this decade. So many songs have been written about love. Now, to prove that point, I want you all to think of a song with the word love in the title. Not a Christian song, a secular song with the word love in the title. Stick your hand up when you've got a song in your head. Right, I'm going to take a few. I haven't got a mic, so you have to shout. Richard?
Love Me Tender.
Love Me Tender. Keep your hand up if Love Me Tender wasn't your song. Claire?
All You Need Is Love.
Some hands go down. Alison?
What's love got to do with it?
Steve? Love me do. Oh, more hands going down. Alison? Love changes everything. Excellent. Any others? Paul? Okay, brilliant. I'm not sure that's a good one to close on, but we will. Do you get the point? There are loads and loads of songs written about love. Love connects with us. And I think love connects with us because we have both a great need for love and a huge capacity to love. And as wonderful as human love and friendships are, I honestly believe that the depth of love within us can only be met in full through experiencing the love of God. Now, Paul's prayer here expresses his longing that the church in Ephesus might grasp the enormity of God's love for them. He wants them to become both rooted and grounded fully in his love. You see, it's quite easy to say, God loves everyone. God loves the world. It's a different thing to say, God loves you, and that means God loves me. And it's another thing still to know, really know, and accept that God completely loves you. God completely loves you, even though at times you might not like yourself very much. He loves you, and he wants his love for you to be the foundation of your life. The love of God is broad enough to encompass everyone. That includes me, even on the days I don't feel very lovable. And it includes everyone else, even though there are some people who just get on my nerves. I'm not looking at anyone. See, that's part of the challenge that Paul was making about the unity that now exists between the Jews and the Gentiles. Because God's love is for everyone. God's love is long enough to last forever. It's eternal. It will never run out. We cannot possibly exhaust God's love. For God is love. Love is the essence of his very being. God's love is high enough that it cannot be bettered. It is love in perfection, the highest quality of love that you can ever experience. And God's love is deep enough that it goes beyond our understanding. Verse 19, Paul said, "May you come to know his love, although it can never fully be known." Never fully be known. That's don't try. Doesn't mean don't try and get to know it. It's just that it's so great, we're never going to fully comprehend it. A bit like those rainforests in New Guinea. There's always so much more to discover of God's love. And of course, knowing God's love isn't an academic exercise that results in a huge amount of knowledge. It's an adventure we embark on to experience God's love for ourselves. Now, I hope that has inspired you to want to know more of God's love for yourself, so that you might become even more rooted and grounded in that love. And it also reminds you how amazing it is to be loved by the living God, and how that love should be shared not only amongst us as a church, but also wider in our community and in the world. Finally, Paul reminds us that the wealth of Christ's riches and the love that we receive are not just to be explored and shared in our own strength, but God gives us the power through his Holy Spirit to accomplish all these things. Now, there are two things I want to briefly highlight about this power from God. Firstly, Paul reminds us that the power of God working through us is all about God's grace and not about who we are. He makes this clear in verse 7. He says, "I was made a servant of the gospel by God's special gift, which he gave me through the working of his power. I am less than the least of all God's people, Yet God gave me this privilege of taking to the Gentiles the good news. Paul's saying that the work he's doing for God is not because he's good enough, it's not because he's specially qualified in some way, it's all because of God's grace, and it's through the power of his Spirit. And I think that's a really important message for us today, because sometimes it can be easy for us to lose sight of the calling that we have as a church. Perhaps we can feel a bit like Paul, being the least of all God's people. And we don't recognise our responsibility to influence and bring change to the world around us. But God has chosen his church, that's us, to be his agent of change in the world. And more than that, he's given us all that we need in his grace to make this possible. Now that's why we think things like Holiday Club and Ozone, Victoria Club, Callis, Alpha, all these things are so important. Because these are ways that we can serve God and see his power at work through our lives. We don't run these events because we're bored and we haven't got anything better to do. But we want to see God at work, meeting the needs of old and young in our community. And through God's grace, he chooses us, every one of us, to make these things happen. So the qualifications for receiving the power of God are not about us. They're all about God's grace. And the purpose of God's power is also not for our sakes, but it's for God's glory in accomplishing his purpose. Paul says in verse 16, I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. And then in verse 20, he says, to him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask of or even think of. How does that make you feel tonight? That God in his grace wants to give you power through his Spirit to do more than you can even think of. Isn't that incredible? God has chosen to work through us, his church, to bring in his kingdom. How can people say that Christianity is boring when this is what God wants to do through us? Now, the world is constantly looking for quick ways to get rich, to find love, and to gain power. And yet true wealth, genuine love, real power are all here, our inheritance, which we receive the second we enter God's kingdom. So I want to encourage you tonight to discover more of Christ's riches and to value the good news and treasure all that is yours through him. I want to urge you to be rooted and grounded in God's love, and to keep on exploring to find the depth of his love for you and for others. And I want you to be inspired to want more of God's Spirit to fill you, to empower you to share the love and the riches you've discovered so that God's kingdom may continue to grow. Let's pause for a moment so you can make your own personal response to God, and then I'll lead you in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you so much for the vast inheritance that we have received from you. And Lord, tonight, first of all, I want to pray that each one of us may know something more of the great riches of Christ that are given to us. Help us to treasure and value your word and to want to share it. Remind us of the joy that it is to be part of your kingdom. And living God, for those of us who've been disappointed and found our faith weakening because of challenges and difficulties in life, Lord, please restore to us the joy and excitement that it is to be your child and to be part of your kingdom. And loving God, I pray for each one of us that you would enable us to encounter more of your love for us. And for those of us who especially sometimes find it difficult to like ourselves, help us to know that you love us completely. Help us to let ourselves go in your love. And enable each one of us not only to know your love, but to want to show it and to have deeper compassion to those around us. And loving God, I pray that you would help us to want more of you in our lives. Lord, please fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit and empower us to do all the things you want us to do. Give us boldness to talk to our friends and colleagues about you. Give us courage when you are asking us to pray for somebody, for a problem to be solved. Give us the strength to step out in faith and trust in you. And help us to take seriously our responsibility of bringing in your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.